Chapter 44. No way they're coming for Eclipse. Not with the armada that left Borlias, Kent Hamner was saying. Now serving as the official liaison between the Jedi and the New Republic, he had arrived an hour before to report some alarming Yuuzhan Vong fleet movements. Even if they could bring that many ships in here, it would take a standard year to stage through the hyperspace gauntlet. The Jedi's best tacticians were gathered in the Eclipse War Room, studying the three displays Luke had put up. One hologram showed the array of hyperspace routes spraying outward from the planet Borlias. Another showed the tortuous route into Eclipse, along with the planet itself hidden behind its screen of asteroid belts and gas giant neighbors. The third hologram showed the entire Coruscant system, and it was to this map that everyone's eye kept drifting, specifically to an obscure cluster of comets on the capital planet's side of the system. Mara pointed into the swirling mass of comet tails. "And there are uncharted asteroids orbiting with the Oborins?"
"We're keeping an eye on them," Kenth said. "We can take them out any time."
No one suggested that the asteroids might be anything but reconnaissance vessels. Corrin Horn, who was one of the Jedi studying the display, had confirmed not long before that space rock was a favorite camouflage for Yuuzhan Vong scout ships.
"This is it, then," Luke said.
He adjusted the holoprojector, annulling the displays of the Borlias hyperspace routes and the Eclipse system. Then, when his connection to Anakin suddenly began to strengthen, failed to enlarge the Coruscant map. He flashed on an image of Yuuzhan Vong charging past a tangle of burning vines, of a purple blade ticking back and forth, of a golden light burning in a dark place. Luke could feel that his nephew was calm and focused, in harmony with the Force and himself, but weak, and growing weaker.
"Master Skywalker?" Corrin asked. "What is it?"
Luke turned away and did not answer. He knew that Saba Sebatine had felt the Hara sisters die, and others were gone too. He could not feel who, only that there was a growing Jedi absence in the Force. Now the strike team was losing Anakin as well, and Luke had sent him, had sent them all.
"Luke?"
Mara was standing behind him, taking his hand. Luke let her, but reached out for Jason and Jaina, found them filled with sorrow and horror, fear and rage, but alive at least, and strong. Then Anakin was gone. Luke felt like the Yuuzhan Vong had reached inside and torn his nephew out of his own body. There was a black void in his heart, a tempest so fierce and cold he began to shake uncontrollably.
"Luke, stop."
Mara's fingers dug into his arm and jerked him around to face her.
"You've got to shut it down. Then we'll feel you. Think of what this will do to him."
"Ben." Luke covered Mara's hand with his and drew in on himself, dampening his presence in the Force, and losing his connection to the twins. Unable to contain the anger rising up inside him, and unwilling to inflict it on his son, he turned and brought his hand down on the hollow projector.
"Master Skywalker!" Kenth gasped. "It's Anakin," Mara said.
"Anakin?"
"Oh."
The room broke into groans and startled outcries. Then Corrin managed to ask,
"Master Skywalker, what can we do?"
"What, indeed?" Luke wondered. He looked to Mara, struggling to regain his composure and focus his thoughts. The question was not what they could do, but what they had to do.
"Anakin."
Luke choked on the words, tried again. "Anakin died for a reason." Corrin and the others waited in silence and looked to him expectantly.
"What we need to do is prep our battle wings," Mara said, taking charge.
She turned to Kenth.
"And get in touch with Admiral Sov. We're going to need a place to berth when we get to Coruscant."
With circles under his eyes almost as dark as his glassy black Sulliston pupils themselves, General Yeel's vidimage suggested that of a chubby-cheeked Yuuzhan Vong child, a spoiled chubby-cheeked Yuuzhan Vong child. Han banged the heel of his palm on the comm desk out of VidCam pickup and pasted a forbearing smile on his face. "I'm not saying installation security is lax, General Yeel," Han said. He was with Lando in the study of his Eastport apartment, trying to do the New Republic a favor and finding it impossible as usual. But Vicky Shesh was on Nermok. She could have slipped an infiltrator onto a shielding crew any time in the last 2 years. Why take a chance? "Do you have evidence of that, Solo?" Not General Solo or retired general or even Han, but just Solo. "If you have evidence, I will institute a review at once." "I don't have evidence. That's the point." Han ran a hand over his brow. "Look, what could it hurt to assign a couple of YVHs to every generator station? This is a great deal." "Yes, free is a great deal," Yeel replied. "What's wrong with them?" Lando slipped into the VidCam's view. "Nothing is wrong with them, General, I assure you. I'm a loyal citizen of the New Republic, doing everything he can to help." Yeel looked doubtful. "Wasn't it a YVH droid that failed to protect Chief of State Failure when infiltrators attacked him?" "That was a glitch in the demonstration program," Lando said patiently. "The droids I'm donating to the New Republic will be combat-ready, fully combat-ready." "That is what frightens me, Calrissian." Yeel blinked twice, then placed his arms on his table and leaned toward his VidCam. "Chief of State Failure asked me to take your call, and I have. But I am not going to put new technology into my generating stations without a full compatibility evaluation. And Planetary Shielding will not be conducting any evaluations until we know where the fleet at Borlias has gone. I'm sorry, Calrissian." An anguished wail echoed down the corridor, so shrill and frenzied that Han did not recognize the voice as human, much less Leia's, until he was already out of his chair and snatching his blaster holster off the table. "Leia!" If anything, the wailing grew louder and less human. Han raced down the corridor to Leia's private study, where he found Atarak and Meewal, flanking the desk and looking uncharacteristically confused and helpless. The furred image of the Bothan General of the Orbital Defense Command was staring out of the vid-screen, looking confused and inanely repeating, "Princess Leia? Princess Leia?" Leia herself was lying on the floor, curled into a fetal ball and screaming something incomprehensible. When Han saw no obvious threat in the room, he knelt at Leia's side and grabbed her arm. "Leia?" She did not seem to realize he was there. Her eyes were rimmed in red and her tears were pooling on the floor, and the only thing Han could get out of her was a long, "Ah!" The Bothan general continued to repeat, "Princess Leia? Princess Leia?" Lando came into the room and, ignoring the comm unit, put a hand on Han's shoulder. "What is it?" Han shook his head and looked to the Nogri. "Lady Vader was speaking with General Batra," Meewal explained. "She was explaining how Lady Rysant Calrissian is already on her way with 1,000 Hunter Ones. Then she suddenly stopped speaking." Leia grasped Han's arm and began to sputter, and Han knew. Anakin was gone, and Leia had felt him die. "Princess Leia," Batra droned. "Princess, are you—" Finding the DL-44 still in his hand, Han used it to blast the comm unit silent. It felt so good that he turned the weapon on the holopad and blasted that too. And then the security system vidbank and anything else that crackled and made sparks when a supercharged particle beam burned a hole through it. "Han!" Lando cried. "Han, what are you doing?" "He's dead." Han shot a data pad off Leia's desk, then sent Lando diving by swinging the blaster around to target a holographic wall panel. "They killed our boy." Han pulled the trigger and watched the pinnacles of Terrarium City erupt into a spark storm. Then Atarak was on him, trapping his blaster arm in a control lock and wrenching the weapon away. Han collapsed to his haunches and began to sob. Now too weary to be angry, too certain of the look in Leia's eyes to doubt the truth. Leia did not seem to notice any of this. Still wailing in anguish, she gathered herself up and ran from the room. Han watched her go, realized somewhere in the back of his mind that Ben was crying. Lando squatted at his side, blaster arm still locked in Atarak's grasp. Han looked over at his old friend. "Anakin is gone." "Han, I'm sorry." Lando squatted at Han's side, then caught Atarak's eye and nodded toward the door. "First Chewie, and now this. I can't imagine. I can't either. Those terrible things I said to him," Han said. In the back of the apartment, Ben was crying more ferociously than ever, and Leia was sobbing even more loudly. "I drove him to it. He had to prove no." Lando leaned in close and locked gazes. "Listen to me, old buddy. Anakin died because he was a Jedi Knight, doing what Jedi Knights do. Not because of what happened to Chewbacca. Not because he was trying to prove anything to you." "How would you know?" Han snapped. He was lashing out not because Lando had said anything wrong, but because the anger was returning, and he needed to be angry with someone. "He wasn't your son. No, he wasn't." A pained, perhaps even guilty look came to Lando's eyes. "But I was the one who turned him over to the Yuuzhan Vong. He didn't blame himself for what happened to Chewbacca, and he knew how much you loved him. Everyone could see that." The gentleness in Lando's voice robbed Han of his anger and substituted despair instead. He knew that his friend was only trying to comfort him, to keep him from falling apart like he had after Chewbacca's death. But the words rang hollow. Han knew how he had behaved after Chewie died, how he had taken out his anger on Anakin and let the rest of his family drift apart while he wallowed in his grief. He had nearly lost them, and now it was happening again. And this time, Leia was not going to be there to pull them all together again. This time, Leia would need someone else to be strong. C-3PO clunked into the room, his electronic voice shrill with alarm. "Someone, please help. Mistress Leia has switched Nana off, and now she's going to crush him." Keeping one hand on Han's shoulder, Lando rose. "Crush who, C-3PO?" C-3PO threw his golden arms into the air. "Ben, she won't let him go." "I'll see what I can do." Lando pushed C-3PO at Han and started for the door. "Watch him." "No, Lando. I'll go." Han grabbed C-3PO's arm and pulled himself to his feet. "It'll need to be me." Lando lifted his brow. "Are you up to this?" Han nodded. "I'll have to be." He led the way to the nursery in the back of the apartment. Leia was standing in front of a transparasteel viewing pane, clutching Ben to her shoulder and staring out at the passing hover traffic, patting him on the back and swaying gently from foot to foot. If she realized that he was crying at all, she did not seem to recognize that it was because of her own keening. Han went to her side and shooed the Nogri away, then slipped a hand between Leia and the baby. "Let go, Leia." He gently began to pry Ben free. "You need to let me take him." Her gaze drifted toward his face, but her eyes seemed to look through him without seeing anything.
"Han?"
"That's right."
Han caught Lando's eye and passed him Ben, then wrapped Leia in his arms and held her. Just held her.
"I'm here, Princess. I'll always be here."